Hi, I'm Rob Wright, and I'm here with CRN West Coast Bureau Chief Kevin McLaughlin, and we're here to discuss some of the things that have been going on with VMware lately. A lot has been going on, actually, in the realm of VMware, from new products to licensing changes, which have ruffled the feathers of some. Kevin, can you tell us a little bit about what's been going on with VMware and maybe start with the licensing changes?
Sure thing, Rob. Okay, well, it's best to try to frame this discussion based on the way things were before with vSphere 1 compared to how they are now with vSphere 5, which is coming out sometime in the third quarter. So basically, vSphere 1, you want to think about it in terms of physical. Everything licensing-based, it was a per CPU licensing model based on the amount of physical cores, physical memory, CPU sockets in the server. Right, so that was something that was very clear, and people didn't really have much unpredictability about that. But in vSphere 5, VMware is changing it's keeping the per CPU licensing model, but it's changing to the amount of memory that customers allocate to virtual machines on the host. What this means is that customers can pull the RAM, VMware is calling it VRAM. Customers can pull this allotment of RAM across their entire data center. They can pretty much put it wherever they want, dedicated to one giant virtual machine or 50 really small virtual machines. It's really up to them. VMware isn't imposing any size limits there. But the difference is that VMware is kind of positioning this as a sort of cloud licensing model that will make more sense as customers follow the company along its journey, so to speak, to the cloud. I guess, the biggest thing that customers, the biggest reaction they had was they started to do the math and really didn't like the numbers they were seeing. Customers were very concerned because they've kind of put a bunch of RAM, physical RAM, on these servers, and they were trying to do the math, and they were looking at a really exponential costs. So that's really kind of to frame the discussion, that's really why customers are kind of up in arms right now.
I guess the question from me, I don't know much about this, but let's say I have an abundance of RAM. Is that going to cost me – that's essentially going to cost me more under the new licensing agreement then, correct?
Yeah. For example, let's say – here's the way that one partner described it to me. In vSphere 1, let's say a customer had configured all the RAM they had on a 128-gigabyte, two-socket server. Under vSphere 4.1, they only needed two licenses. Now, in vSphere 5, that same customer will need three licenses, even if they're only configuring 96 gigabytes of that 128. So this was a kind of a typical scenario that was laid out to me by a VMware partner. What's interesting is that in VMware's second quarter earnings call, which happened on Wednesday, Paul Moritz kind of tried to clear the air a little bit. He said that there's a lot of misconceptions out there about the physical aspect of this, mm-hmm. and he kind of just tried to play up the fact that this is not all down to the physical RAM on the server. It's all about the RAM that's the virtual RAM, which is the new
right.
allotment, the new so-called entitlement that VMware is trying to explain here. I don't know if that's really going to resonate a whole lot with people who are freaking out, but VMware insists, and Moritz said in the call, that 95% of customers are not going to have to pay more under vSphere 5.
Interesting. I mean, from what you're hearing so far, does it seem like most partners are still concerned about it, though?
I will say this. I talked to quite a few partners before the launch, and I had some information from VMware about the changes that were coming, and so did they. But after the launch, partners are saying, wait a minute, we knew that there were some changes coming, but we did not know the full extent. And I would say that even channel partners that were briefed in advance by VMware were somewhat surprised by what came out in the end. Having said that, I think that, these partners are doing a ton of business with VMware. They're embracing the whole cloud infrastructure stack that vSphere 5 and the other updates represent. Mm-hmm. I would characterize this as a bump in the road. There's definitely some learning curve involved. There's probably a lot of, damage control in a sense. Mm-hmm. The partners are having to do with their customers. But I will say this. A lot of partners said that there was a lot of grumbling when VMware introduced licensing cost changes with vSphere 4. And obviously, this happens pretty much any time a company tries to institute a radical shift in how they're charging customers. My guess is this will probably, over time, die down a little bit and come to be seen in light of its benefits as opposed to its costs.
So you don't expect it to hurt their momentum, like you said, more of a bump in the road then?
It depends on how – if you're talking about short-term momentum, I think VMware is very aware of the reaction they were going to get to this. And even in the earnings call, they sort of alluded to they used the term risk with regard to the outlook for the third quarter. And later in a Q&A, they were kind of called on that, and the CFO, Mark Peek, said, well, that risk really pertains to this whole idea of we just introduced all these new products. And he didn't say it, but, obviously introduced new licensing as well, and it's going to take customers a while to get through this and figure out what it means for them. And partners are going to play a big role in sort of educating their customers as well on what the changes mean. So I think VMware is definitely aware that this is not going to happen. People aren't going to embrace the whole vSphere stack overnight. It's going to take a while. It's definitely something that customers and partners that are just using virtualization right now, they're not going to really move to that cloud stack for quite a while. So I think what VMware is doing is putting a stake in the ground saying, here it is. You're going to have to figure it out. But I really doubt that, VMware is going to budge on this. There's been some speculation that they might have to back down a little bit. I don't think so. I think they've spent so much R&D on this future cloud stack that they're building that, this is really their sort of return that they're expecting to get on those investments that they've made.
So talk a little bit about the host of new products that they've released. I mean, there's a ton coming out of VMware recently in terms of updated product suites, product series. Tell us a little bit about what they did.
Okay, you've got a new update to Site Recovery Manager, Site Recovery Manager 5. That's a product in which they've added some key automation features with the sort of replication that takes place between the different hosts. You've got vCloud Director. It's not a major update. This is a product that they announced last year at VMworld, which basically it's very much of a cloud-oriented design. It's for provisioning services inside and outside the firewall. They've added some automation to that as well. There's this one feature called Link Clones, which was talked about a little bit on the earnings call. They're saying it's going to really speed the provisioning times and make things work in a much more cloud-like fashion. Not all the updates that they announced were about the cloud, though. There's a new product. It's an SMB-focused storage appliance. They call it the vSphere storage appliance. I guess it does have an element of cloud in it, but it's VMware's attempt to go after the SMB market, which is definitely an area that they would like to get a bigger share of. And it's an area where Microsoft kind of dominates. The cloud stack updates are really just on several occasions, VMware executives have said this is the largest simultaneous product update in our history. And I think really reading between the lines there, it's really about they're integrating these products more than they ever have before, and that's going to continue to be the theme going forward.
Yeah, I remember as a lot of these stories were coming in from you, me being on the editing desk, I couldn't believe how many products they had updated and released. It was just like a flood of VMware news. They've obviously got a lot of momentum right now. They had another successful quarter. Talk about some of the metrics that you saw in that second quarter, revenue increases and sort of the vibe and the feel from where they are currently.
Well, it seemed like a lot of the revenue in Q2 at least was driven by enterprise licensing agreement renewals, and they mentioned that a lot of these renewals were on a 3-year basis and were signed back in 2008. And basically, it's just a lot of companies coming up to the end of that and, re-upping because they're obviously doing quite well with what they've got in place. So I don't know if there's anything that really jumped out in the earnings call that was new. I think going back to the cloud stuff, I think they're really VMware is very much like the analogy of the cricket and the ant. You know, back when you were a kid, when they talked about how the ant was always working for the future, and the cricket was lounging and drinking iced tea and whatever. So I would say VMware is very much like that ant. They're making a lot of money now. They're doing quite well, but they're very much setting up for the future. And so I think a lot of what was discussed on the call was sort of their first steps to address what is really going to represent a lot of heavy lifting, both in selling this cloud stack, getting its channel to sell the cloud stack, and really kind of selling this whole cloud vision, which, quite frankly, you know, they can say that they are the leaders in virtualization, but that doesn't necessarily translate into success in the cloud. I think everyone's starting over on a more or less level ground in that space.
Sure, sure. And I mean, you brought up a good point with the ant analogy. It does seem like they're working pretty hard in that direction. Because right now, I mean, correct me if I'm wrong, you're closer to this space, but it seems like in terms of virtualization software, they're pretty much the king of the hill right now. They don't have a lot of other, big competitors. I know Microsoft has made some inroads in, you know, with some of their virtualization software. There's Citrix with the, you know, desktop virtualization, but it seems like, you know, they're really the big game in town right now in that enterprise space, correct?
Oh, definitely. I mean, Citrix, on the same day that VMware launched this cloud stack, announced its acquisition of cloud.com, obviously time to sort of steal some of the thunder away. Mm-hmm. You know, Citrix definitely has its niche, and if you talk to Citrix channel partners, they're doing great as well. That company is definitely on the upswing. There's a lot of pie here, and there's a lot for everyone to eat, and it's not really a zero-sum game per se. Another thing I wanted to go back to, though, is with vSphere 5, VMware kind of just blew the doors off in terms of the performance and scalability, and there's some interesting numbers. They went from 8 virtual CPUs to 32 virtual CPUs supported in each virtual machine, and they're also going from 256 gigabytes of RAM in a single virtual machine to 1 terabyte. These are insane figures, really. Nobody's going to use this today, but like I said before, this is an example of VMware definitely not resting on its laurels. They're going to be able to point to this performance boost that they've given as an example of how they're staying ahead of the competitors.
Sure. Now, you had a chance to sit down and interview Paul Moritz, and you have a rather big story coming about VMware and where they're at. What did you learn about them? What did you learn from speaking with Paul Moritz, and what was the sense that you got from them?
I would say that speaking with Paul was very interesting. He definitely addresses topics at a high level, but when you look at all the different things that are on his radar right now, he's kind of like the captain at the very top of the ship who's got the long view towards everything, and all the sort of worker bees are this, you know, on deck, you know, keeping things running. But yeah, he's a high level guy, and his energies right now are pretty much focused on this whole cloud transition. And like I said before, I mean, he also sought to sort of dispel this confusion over the licensing model. And
right.
I think he's definitely the kind of guy who seems to be, I don't know, he's not a Steve Ballmer type. He's not jumping around like screaming about how great
right.
things are. He's very calm and very sort of a cool character. And I don't know, for a company that's facing the kind of transition that they are facing, I can't imagine that the partners of VMware would want to have anyone else in that position.
So speaking of partners, what are they feeling today outside of the licensing changes? What is their sort of impression of the state of VMware?
I get the sense from a lot of partners. There are some that have made those early cloud investments, but there's many more who look at things that VMware is doing, for example, with Cloud Foundry, which is a platform as a service that VMware bought comes from its acquisition of SpringSource in 2009. Mm-hmm. More interestingly, it actually includes two key Google engineers that VMware hired away from the company a couple years ago. Cloud Foundry is all about sort of getting into enterprises that have all this legacy application code and getting those applications rewritten for the cloud. Cloud Foundry is also obviously good for new applications that are being developed because it's very much of a cloud-ready framework that, you know, really, I think VMware's trying to sort of clean up all the loose ends. It's all about removing the barriers. You know, they know that VMware is at 40% virtualization right now within its own customer base. Paul Moritz mentioned that the industry as a whole is headed towards the end of the year to the 50% mark, according to several analyst sources. So, you know, clearly they're getting to this midway part. They need to start the cloud transition, but they also need to make sure, hey, you know, let's get to that 100% virtualization that we've been talking about for some time. And that's when the fun really starts. So, yeah, I think they're having to sort of start the next phase at the same time as they're closing out the current one. And so you can kind of look at VMware as being busy on two fronts.
And one of the things you had mentioned earlier was just about how they're trying to get more of that SMB presence. And do you get the sense that maybe that market is a little bit the VMware, the technology itself, is a little bit above that SMB market, or are they starting to drill down there? Are they starting to make stuff that's applicable to smaller clients that maybe don't have? I mean, you mentioned some of the performance jumps that they have in their most recent products. I mean, that's pretty high level stuff, and a lot of small and medium businesses don't really have those types of needs. What are they doing there?
Well, let's face it. I think that a lot of companies have a tendency just to repackage their products for the enterprise, slap an SMB label on them, and then
sure.
Here you go, guys. Have fun with it. Now, I will say this. The VMware executives did acknowledge to me in my meetings with them that this vSphere storage appliance was built from the ground up and is definitely not a product that's being repackaged. And they also sort of gave me a mea culpa in the sense of, you know, having done that in the past, been guilty of doing that in the past. So, you know, I think the vSphere storage appliance is definitely an interesting product. The whole idea of allowing SMBs to use the benefits of virtualization without needing shared storage hardware is really the key element there. A lot of SMBs can't afford shared storage. It's obviously pretty expensive. Now, I will say this, though. I saw a report, I think it was in the Register, where the vSphere storage appliance is not quite as full-featured as VMware is positioning it. Mm-hmm. Someone got in there and sort of dug under the hood. And so, I don't know, maybe there's a little bit of a learning curve that has to happen there for VMware. But yeah, you can point to that product as an example of it. They are at least trying to address something that has been a problem in the past.
Sure, sure. It's interesting because it just seems like, you know, moving down to that area could be really lucrative for them. I mean, when you look at sort of the position of the company, they are almost like the Windows, you know, the Microsoft Windows of the virtualization world. It seems like everyone is using their software at the enterprise level. I don't know if they could move down into that SMB space a little bit more. It could be huge for them. I mean, not that they're not already growing, but it just seems like that may be one of the areas that they're one real weak spot, I guess. Just looking at the rest of the year, are they going to have more products coming out, or is this kind of this release that they did, is this kind of it for a while? Are they going to be kind of a little bit quieter, for the coming months, the rest of the year?
I think they mentioned on the earnings call that they do have some updates coming to VMware View fall at VMworld, but I would say, given the size and magnitude of the launch that we just saw, that we're not going to be seeing a whole lot of major new sort of features and functionality. I think that will probably just be an incremental update. But what you mentioned before about, you know, VMware and sort of Microsoft comparisons, I think that's probably something that Paul Moritz would cringe at, but there's definitely some elements of truth there. And it makes for great theater as well. You've got a guy who spent 14 years at Microsoft, helped to really, in some ways, foster the integrated mindset that led to Office being a collection of integrated products. And now he's trying to apply that to his own company and the cloud stack. So definitely interesting battle. Microsoft has been sort of talking for years now about how, you know, VMware is too expensive and we're cheaper and we can do more for less money. But, you know, the reality is VMware still holds a commanding lead of the enterprise virtualization market. That's not something that Microsoft is really threatening in any way right now. So you'd have to think that, you know, VMware at least has the advantage going forward if that Microsoft battle does, you know, materialize going forward.
Yeah. Well, one, I will say this, one advantage that Microsoft does have over a lot of its competitors, and you might, in fact, you could probably say most, is that they've got a pretty sizable channel. They've got a number of solution provider partners out there, just across the world, not just in North America. I'm wondering, from what you've heard from VMware, are they actively trying to bring in more reseller partners, more solution providers to work with them? Do they feel like they need to go out and recruit more and build up their channel numbers? Or do you feel like with most enterprise companies, that they kind of go with the, less is more approach with at least in terms of the number of channel partners? They seem like they prefer to have a smaller number of guys under their wing.
I would say actually that I did not get the sense that VMware is looking to recruit more partners. And if anything, I think that there's an implicit message in what they're saying about the cloud that suggests that there could be a shakeout. Now, these are my words and not theirs. But there are definitely some partners that are not ready to transition to cloud and may not ever be ready to transition to cloud just because the cloud scares the heck out of a lot of people and they can't afford to really, be part of that business model. VMware is giving partners four options for moving to the cloud, and they're kind of trying to, position it as every partner we have will be able to fit into one of these, characteristics. But I would disagree, actually, especially when it comes to hybrid cloud. VMware thinks that hybrid cloud is really going to be the future for how everything they sell is consumed. They're saying that a partner that's working on private cloud, and a lot of partners have made a lot of money deploying private cloud infrastructure. Well, VMware's position is that partner can just go out and partner with a service provider and either sell that service provider's services or just refer customers to the service provider and get an agent fee. Now, this seems a little bit like a pipe dream. It's similar to what other vendors are talking about. And I think VMware, just as much as any vendor that's trying to move its channel to the cloud, is kind of throwing stuff against the wall and seeing if it'll stick. And I frankly think that there's going to be some VMware partners that look at all the options and say, none of these really fits for us.
Interesting that you say that. Yeah, I mean, we did the CRN did the Tech Elite list not too long ago, and of the VARs out there, the big solution providers that had, sort of the highest level of technical certifications and designations in the industry. And one of the big themes that came out of that research project was, VMware was everywhere. A lot of the top VARs that had those high level certifications, they, I would say, maybe 3/4 of them had some type of VMware enterprise level certification. And it seems like they're really getting the cream of the crop guys, the guys that are moving towards virtualization, data center consolidation, and obviously cloud computing. And they've got a good foothold with those guys. But like you said, it seems like, maybe some of those smaller VARs or even guys that are still doing a ton of product sales and not moving to the cloud, that they're going to have that those guys aren't just going to be part of the game. They're not going to be part of the sort of the VMware big picture. And that there may be some turnover for their ranks going forward. Do you think that could hurt them going forward?
I don't know about hurting them going forward, but I definitely think that there are plenty of VMware partners still in that transactional mindset. Mm-hmm. I guess it's just a matter of, how long is that going to last? And I guess there's different views from different industry perspectives. I guess vendors, VMware, Microsoft, enterprise vendors need to position the cloud with a certain sense of urgency. And I think that, the veiled suggestion that partners, need to do as much heavy lifting as we are, really is the tactic they use to create this impression that it's maybe happening. But I don't know. I have to say that you talk to some vendors, some of VMware's partners, and they seem just as mystified about the cloud as some of the Microsoft partners I've spoken with in the past. So
sure.
I'm sure it's a mix. There are early adopters, there are laggards, and just like any company, VMware is going to have to try to get everyone on the ship.
And so you mentioned earlier that it was at VMworld is coming up later this year?
Yes.
And that's in September?
It's at the end of August, September, in Las Vegas, Nevada.
And what do you expect? Is that going to be more of a partner conference, or is it a
It's actually their customer event. It's on par with the HP Discover event that they just had in June. So I would say already, though, easy. It's very easy to say what the main theme will be, or at least on the main theme on the mind of customers, and that's the vSphere licensing model. I think that's clearly the biggest issue to arise in the VMware ecosystem in at least a couple of years, you know, since vSphere was launched back in 2009. It's going to be on top of everyone's minds. You know, VMware is going to be obviously talking more about the cloud journey and how these new product updates are going to get customers and partners there, but I think they're going to have to be fielding a lot of questions about the licensing costs. And who knows, maybe they'll come and be able to, you know, give some concrete examples of how this is not going to raise costs. But, you know, one partner I spoke with really said that despite all the great stuff that was part of this cloud infrastructure update, all the exciting performance and capacity improvements, VMware did not really handle the pricing aspect, the licensing aspect, as well as they could have.
Yeah.
That's really the bottom line.
Well, they're still growing, you know, relatively, I guess, young company when you, all things considered, looking at a lot of the other giants in IT industry right now. So I guess it's just, you know, your typical growing pains. I mean, they have between now and, I guess, end of August to do a little bit of hand-holding and evangelizing to sort of patch things up, I guess.
Oh, definitely. And I would imagine that channel partners, they're probably reaching out first to the channel partners to sort of address their concerns so that they, in turn, can go out and talk to their customers. But, yeah, I would say there's probably a lot of trickle-down learning that's going to have to be disseminated there to get things calm again.
All right. Well, Kevin, I appreciate the time, and we'll look forward to hearing more from you on VMware and what's going on with them.
All right. Thank you, Rob.